This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, welcome to the War Room here, and thanks, Dave, for the introduction. And today, probably more than any other times, it's important to say that the views and opinions expressed here in the War Room are not necessarily the views and opinions of BPN Radio. So that is very important that we get this out of the way, and then we can make a start here. Okay, today we've got a special session. I have got an interview by a gentleman, and I should know his name. I've forgotten his name. I'll try to squeeze it in at the end of the talk. Anyway, there are loads of people who have had heaven visits, who have had near-death experiences and ended up in heaven, and they report of what they've saw, what they've seen. And some of the stuff is very interesting. I mentioned before, some of these experiences are probably not real. Some are real from what I can see. Whenever you listen to this stuff, the ultimate authority is the Word of God. So never, ever, you know, if somebody tells you a story about some supernatural experience, take it as given unless, you know, it agrees with the Word of God. It's very, very important. And I want to reiterate this here. So you will hear a talk or part of a talk. I'm not sure whether I can get it all across in one or two radio shows. You will hear a talk or part of a talk, and please weigh this in your heart and compare this with the Word of God. I think it's okay, but then who am I? Yeah, I do get things wrong as well. Okay, I just want to encourage you, because we need to be heaven-focused, and that's something we very often miss out on. The Bible clearly encourages us to make our investments into heaven and to collect treasures in heaven through giving to the poor and needy, through dedicating and giving our time to God, and many other things. Yeah? Invest in heaven. Don't invest in this earth, which is going to be destroyed by fire and thief, rust, and moth, and share prices can crash, and banks can go bankrupt, and you can lose everything. You can lose everything overnight. And from, you know, tomorrow you could be, today you may be a rich person, tomorrow you could be homeless. This is the world we are living in. It's no safety, it's no guarantee. And that's something, my friends, you have to bear in mind. You have to bear in mind. So I want to encourage you to, focus on heaven and focus your whole thinking, your endeavor, your desires, your future on heaven. And whilst doing that, be very active here on earth and being busy about the Lord's work and the calling God has placed on your life. And again, your calling is going to be different to mine. Your calling is going to be different to your friend's calling in the church, to your pastor's calling, to your maybe family members, you know, who follow Jesus, to their calling. It's going to be different for all of us, but we need to make sure our calling, we need to make sure what God wants us to do whilst we are here, and make the best of it as far as we can, and let God work through us. Okay, I'm going to hand it over to the talk here, and stay tuned here at BPN Radio and Seismic Radio.
When I was a little boy, I had an experience, and I don't talk about it unless I'm asked, because my testimony is not my message. And so I had to make a little bit of a detour in my life to make sure that I didn't get pigeonholed, as we would say, in just to the little boy that saw heaven, because there was more to me than that. So a few years ago, almost 10 years ago, I made the adjustment that unless I'm asked or God tells me, I don't talk about it. But since you've asked, I get to talk about it tonight. And so I didn't see everything in heaven. I only saw a part of it. It's like coming to London and they ask if you saw everything in London. And all I saw was this part of London. And so you can only talk about the part that you see. And that's the part that I'm going to talk about tonight. Father, we thank you for a wonderful afternoon. We thank you that you will bring alive this experience that you gave me by your sovereignty. So glad that you did. But we all are very happy that we can all go to heaven for ourselves once we accept Christ and put our faith in his redemptive work. Let every heart and every mind be opened as we take this journey, we pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. If you have your Bibles, which I'm sure that you do, I'm going to read one scripture. The Bible is full of stories about people who have seen into the other world and the other lives. So having a vision or seeing heaven or seeing the other place called hell is not an unusual scriptural story. Throughout the Old and New Testament, there are those that record it. John was probably the most vivid one of all the recorders. But Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 1, it's not expedient for me to doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. In this body or out, I cannot tell. Only God knows for sure. But such a one caught up to the third heaven. If there's a third heaven, there's a second heaven. If there's a second heaven, there's a first heaven. The first heaven is the earth and its atmosphere. The second heaven is what I would call the spiritual realm that is right beyond our physical eyes. You sense it more than you see it at this time in your life. The spirit world is full of three citizens, full of God and his angels, Lucifer and his demons, and you. So you operate and in being influenced all the time by that second heaven more than you know. The third heaven is the planet or the place called heaven. Heaven is not a place of floaty clouds and 3 feet naked babies feeding you grapes, as you would see in some of the paintings in the cathedrals of Europe. And when you get to heaven, you'll find out that all angels are about 6 to 8 feet tall. They're not about this big. They're 6 to 8 feet tall. Some have wings and some don't. And I meant both kinds. And when the wings on the angels move, it makes like musical sounds. So sometimes when you're worshiping, you think you're in the heavenly choir and the heavenly music. You're probably with some angels singing, but it's not with the harps and the drums and all that. It's just their wings moving as the air goes through it. Do you all say amen or oh still, or you lost that? It's always amazing when you start telling the story, everybody goes into this deep, quiet look at you like that. I was 8 years old when I finished playing a game of baseball with my friends in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I was born. And I walked inside of my house to read 4 chapters in the book of St. John because in our home, it was a part of how we lived. I was raised in a Christian family. I was not fasting, was not praying, and didn't want to read. I wanted to read, get it done, and go back outside and play with my friends. That was my mindset on this day. I walked into my room and grabbed my Bible because at the end of each day, my family would ask me, did you read the Bible? And we'd at least give 4 points, 1 per chapter, or go back and read the 4 chapters again. So I was going to read it, make mental notes of at dinner time, the inquiry of what did you read and what do you remember? If not, we couldn't watch TV. We had to go back and read our Bibles again and do a report before we could watch our cartoons. That's not called child abuse. That's called train up a child in the way they should go and they will not depart when they grow old. I'm an example of growing old and have not departed. Amen? So I was trying to get my 4 chapters done so I could go back outside and play with my friends. When I sat down on the bed in my room, a supernatural pull came around me up under my feet and pulled me through the roof of my house. And I could look down and see both the front yard and the backyard at the same time. I was that high. And I could look down the street and I could see my friends playing baseball where I'd been playing. And in a few moments, I began to move at a high rate of speed, and I went flying, I guess, through the universe, wherever I was going, to this place that I eventually would call heaven. And so as I was flying for a few moments, you could see things move. You were going. And then I landed, and when I landed outside of one of the biggest gates I'd ever saw in my life as a little boy. I reached out to touch it to see if it was real or just a part of my imagination. But when I touched it, it felt real. It felt like a substance. You had that feeling that it was a real thing, a real place. And I heard these words, "This is one of the gates." And I turned to my right, and there stood Jesus back where that staircase is, from where I was standing. And he began to walk toward me, and he said, "I want to give you a tour of heaven today." And when he said that, the gate I was next to began to open, and he walked up toward me. And as he walked up toward me, the glory or the presence of Jesus was so strong it caused you to almost cry involuntarily. It just began to come out. And he grabbed me by my hand and walked toward me, we walked toward the gate, and we walked inside of heaven. The first thing I remember seeing in heaven was the golden stream with the golden curb with the flowers next to the curb that hummed. When you walk past the flowers, they all made a small little humming sound. Now, it's not a Walt Disney production here. They don't have little bitty mouths that when they sing. Every few moments in heaven, there comes a wave of energy, life, anointing, whatever word you want to call it. And you can feel it. And when it would come through the flowers, see, I'm 8 years old. I'm about that high. So I'm close to the ground. More than you are now. So I'm an 8-year-old having this experience. I'm not 46 having the experience. When I tell it as a little boy, because that's when it happened to me. And I remember walking by the flowers, and you could hear little humming sounds coming out of the flowers as you walked by them. And each flower was identically perfect to the other one without one blemish. And as we walked by it, I remember looking at the flowers and hearing them hum, and I wanted to go touch them because kids like to touch things. But I didn't have a chance before I looked up, and a woman came walking down the street. When you get to heaven, you will look the way you look now, but without any imperfections. Everybody in heaven that I saw looked like they were in their 30s, is the way they look to me. So if you're 102, there's hope for you. If you don't like a certain thing, it's going to be okay because God will make it all right for you. Hallelujah. I only got 4 amens on that point. All right. And this lady came walking down the street, and she walked up to us and said a few things to us. And under her arm, she had a little bundle. One was a book. Another thing was like in a bag or something. I couldn't tell what it was. And she knew my name. Now, knowing my name is a very difficult name because there is an S on my name. I'm not just Robert. I'm Roberts. That happened to me because my parents and Oral and Evelyn Roberts were close friends, and my parents were the first students of the university in Tulsa to have a baby boy. And Oral and Evelyn wanted to help name the first boy and the first girl. So I popped out first. And so they named me Kenneth after my father, Roberts after the Roberts family, Lairdon is my surname. So Kenneth Roberts Lairdon, I've spent 46 years explaining that S everywhere I go. So when these people in heaven walked up to me, they all knew my name and said it correctly. And they all knew I was a visitor, that I wasn't there to stay. And the lady said to me, she goes, "We're so glad you're here, Roberts. Enjoy your visit." And she walked off. Now, the Golden Street, when you look at it, as it goes down a ways, it almost turns into what it looks like crystal clear look to it. There's a goldenness to it, but when you look on down, at least that's the way I remember it, it looks almost crystal clear the way the light, the light and all that works. And we walked off of the street to go to one of the houses in heaven. Jesus said, "I make a mansion for you." Now, a mansion is not Buckingham Palace. A mansion for you is a house that is appropriate and made to your liking. It's not California tract housing. Praise the Lord. Some are bigger and smaller. Some are done differently. But they're done in a liking that you would enjoy. And we walked up to this house and we knocked on the door, because in heaven they have manners. They don't float through the wall and go high as they go outside the other door. Heaven and earth are very much similar, except for heaven is perfect and earth has a lot of faults to it. Even the color of the grass is both green, but the green of heaven is the very essence of the color of green. Now, I don't know how to explain that to you any more than saying it that way. It is the green of the color of green. Our green is kind of pale compared to the vital brightness of the color of the green in the grass in heaven. And as a little boy, here's a little boy thing. You know, when you walk on grass, well, England don't have that much grass because it's usually winter here. In America, we have more summer. And you walk on grass and you leave a footprint. And eventually the grass will move back to standing up. In heaven, you can watch it jump back. It moves faster. So as a little boy, I kept playing with the grass, because you'd leave your footprint and you'd watch the blades of grass jump back faster than earth grass. So to me as a little boy, that was like, that's kind of cool. Look at this. Because Oklahoma grass doesn't do that. It just stays down there for a long time. You get bored with it and you walk away. You come back a day later and it looks normal. In heaven, it moves faster. It moves back like that. When we knocked on the door of this home, the man that owned the home opened the door and invited us in. He knew it was Jesus and he knew my name. And we walked into his house. And it was decorated a lot like what we would do here on earth in many fashions and some differences. But the most amazing thing to me was the sofa, we would call it, the couch. When you sit in a piece of furniture in heaven, like you've already started doing this, sitting there for 15 minutes trying to find a comfortable spot. In heaven, when you sit down, and I sit down in this sofa, comfort lived in it. And it reaches up and cuddles you while you sit on the sofa, and you never have to do any of this to be comfortable, because it's just wonderful. See, if those chairs were in heaven, you'd buy that chair and take it home, because that chair would just be as comfortable, because comfort lives in the furniture and you can feel it move as you sit on it. And when I sat on the sofa, I thought, ooh. And in the house, he had pictures of his family. Now, some of these things, you don't have to believe me. But you have to believe in Christ to go there to see that I'm right. I'm trying. This is how I saw it. This is what portion I saw. And he had pictures, a couple pictures of family members that were still on earth in his house. The people on earth and the people in heaven are in two different locations, but we're not absent of the awareness of each other. The people that have gone on before you, your brothers, your sisters, your family, your elderly folks in your family, your friends that have gone on to heaven, they are aware of your earth existence. They are aware of it to some degree. To what degree, I cannot state, but I'm aware that he talked about his family and he had pictures of his family members that were still on earth in his house. His house had books. His house had other types of decorations in it. So you don't just get a house and it just glows at you. It has decoration, furniture, books. Heaven and earth are so much alike in some ways that it will be surprising when you get there how similar they are. So the man in the house talked a little bit more to Jesus than to me, because I was playing with the sofa. Again, I'm 8 years old. I didn't ask theological questions. I didn't try to figure out all the questions I get after telling this story. Did you see the marks in his hands? I didn't look. I was a little boy who liked the grass. and like the sofa who was cuddling me, and I kept moving around trying to outsmart it, and it kept taking care of me. Now, when you find a sofa that moves, you'll be very much entertained. And so when our little visit to this man's home ended, we got up and went out the back door of the man's house. Why? I have no idea. There's no scripture, no revelation, except for that's what we did. We walked out the back door, and that's when I begin to notice the plants, the trees, and the animals. When I walked outside, the birds in the trees that were singing, I understood what they were singing. They didn't sing in English, or they still sing in bird talk, or whatever you want to call it, bird language, but you understood it. There is no communication gap between angels, saints, and the animals are there. There is a communication that is closer and easier for all of the creation to interwork with than we have here on earth. So when I walked by and saw the birds in the trees, they were singing, and I understood what they were singing. People ask me, well, how can there be animals in heaven? Well, then I ask this question. How can Jesus ride back on a white horse if it's not there? Good evening. See, well, I don't think there'll be animals in heaven. That's because you don't like animals. Doesn't mean they're not going to be there. There's going to be all kinds of birds, all kinds of earth animals, and there are some creatures there that I don't even try to explain. In the early days of me telling this story, I would try to explain some of the other animals or the other creatures that I saw, and it got weirder for the people. So I just don't talk about it because I don't know how to explain it in a way that it's understandable. And there's so many other good things you can understand and relate to than be caught up in an animal or a creature that is not on earth, but it is in heaven. There is no fear in heaven. There is no rejection in heaven. The atmosphere all is supportive of you. Now this to me is the most wonderful aspect of heaven that I miss the most. Now, the sofa wasn't bad, but to be in an atmosphere that there is no resistance to you at all. There is nothing in the atmosphere to pull a negative thought or emotion or attitude or feeling. The whole atmosphere is absent of that type of happening or spirit or behavior. So everybody in heaven is happy. And they like each other. Praise the Lord. There'll be no civil wars in heaven, praise the Lord. There'll be no conflict. There'll be no fussing. There'll be no fighting. There'll be peace in heaven. To be in an atmosphere when you stand up in it, it's totally supportive of you. The way you talk and interact and the way you move is a positive thing. Is the most beautiful thing. That, to me, is the thing I miss the most about coming back, is to be stuck in this, where an attitude could create a disposition, a feeling, a separation, an awkwardness that may take weeks or months or never resolved in the natural, and there's this little right there. To meet everybody you meet, and there's no quirk. There's no, I don't like your hair today. Or I don't like this. Or it's not there. And it's not robotish. It's just being in an atmosphere where that is not present. We walked a little ways, and we went to what I would call a praise service. It was probably 500 or 600 people. Now you can tell the difference in heaven between earth people and angels, one, because of their height. All the angels that I saw, and the one that I have with me, stands about 6 to 8 feet tall. Everybody has at least one. If you're real busy, you might get two. If you're in a war, you might get 5 or 6. I don't know, but they come when you need help. And we use the name guardian angel, an angel assigned to you to assist you. I think everybody has at least one. I think at different times you may have more than one, according to what you're doing and what you have need of. And when angels walk up to you, they know that you're from earth, and you know that they're from heaven, just because of the height. Some would wear different colored belts or sashes. Some, as I said earlier, would have wings, and some would not. When they would walk up to Jesus, everybody had a respect, but a friendship type of relationship, especially the earth people. The angels had more of a duty respect and an honorable type of disposition. But people like you and I, when we get there, there'll be a respect, but there'll be a friendship base inside of how you relate to Jesus.
Okay, that was Robert Laden. I had to look up his name in the meantime. It's not very good radio production to not know the names of the talks you're playing off the radio. Okay, it looks like we're going to have to split the talk into either two or three parts. I'll check it out. So we're going to carry on tomorrow. A very interesting talk, I think. I think it's quite authentic. Again, I've heard, I'm not sure whether that's hundreds, but certainly dozens of these talks. And you get some sort of consensus when you, you know, look at all these seven talks. And you try again then to draw a comparison to the Bible, what you find in Revelation, what you find in certain other parts. And are they spot on? I don't know. I think so. I haven't found anything controversial in there. So I hope you did enjoy the talk. And again, the aim in the war room is to focus you on heaven and also to have a message of heaven and hell. It's very, very important because hell, it's the biggest deception. There is no hell. No, the majority of mankind is heading right into hell, is getting right at the gates of hell. And the only way out is Jesus Christ. And we need to get this message out there. There is this reality, you know. The again, Yorkshire saying, the proof is in the pudding. Jesus is real, you know. And we need to take what Jesus said seriously. And he says there's only one way to God, and we need to embark on this route, on this way to God. And we need to encourage the people around us to do the same. And that is really what we, you know, what the war room is there for. And it's important, you know, if we can talk about heaven and we can talk about people who, through either supernatural experiences or through near-death experiences, have made their journey up to heaven. And it seems to tie up with what the Bible says. Why not? You know, we are in the last minute, and you may even hear this message after, you know, after the rapture has been and, you know, millions of Christians have disappeared. But it's, you know, if you haven't taken the mark of the beast, it's not too late for you. If you have taken it, big mistake, but if you haven't taken it, it's not too late for you, and you can come to Christ. And so I want to encourage you, number one, don't take the mark. You know, it's another story. We're going to talk about end time after this, the heaven session is over. But also, I want to encourage you to really seek Jesus. You know, call upon the name of Jesus. Do it right now and ask him to come into your heart, come what may, and surrender your life to him. He's looking out for you. He's longing for you. He loves you more than you can ever imagine. And you can experience the love of God. God bless. And, you know, talk to you tomorrow. Tomorrow, the next talk here on BPN Radio.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.